Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between, or welcome back because you have joined us for a part two edition of the live and the podcast will rock, unless you are listening to it post-live show, in which case, hello. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, one track at a time. Thank you for joining us again if you're still with us, and if you are joining us for the first time and you didn't hear part one, well, stop that and go back and then come back, because there's going to be so much context clues you're not going to understand. So come back. You back? Cool. Awesome. Welcome back to part two. I am your co-host, Mark Meyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette and a cavalcade of other deep dive podcasters as well. Corey, how do you think the first half of the live show has gone so far?
Interesting. Actually, we spun a very divisive track, which is kind of cool. I'm actually just putting the poll on Twitter now. What's your vote on Dancing in the Streets? Curious to see how this one goes. Hopefully we'll get some real-time results as we go along here. The official vote on the show was 4-2. This dream is over. Only the two Van Halen guys, Mark and Corey, voting for it. It wasn't an overwhelming, like a super happy endorsement of Dancing in the Street, but like just kind of just enough that, you know, we're not going to shit on it too hard. So other than that, my bladder is empty, my drink is full, and I'm ready to rock and fucking roll.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. So also, if you don't know, rejoining us on the panel real quickly, Sean and Todd from the Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast. We've got Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty podcast. Scott Haskin, how you doing, everybody?
Doing great. Ready for another episode.
Awesome. He's
all right.
Here we go.
They even did a wardrobe change, too.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Ruining continuity. Awesome.
It's a new show. You're supposed to. Yeah. Well, that's brilliant.
He had to do a wardrobe change to get off the stench of the last episode because it made him so angry and so just fed up.
Well, you know what, though? The good thing for episode two is we don't have to listen to Dancing in the Streets.
That's so true.
There you are.
I just want to point out, Kevin in the Zoom chat said you guys choked, which I think is unfair.
I think we know who's under the influence of the deep pockets of Van Halen here.
Ouch.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we're expecting that Christmas bonus any day now. That's right. That's how it works. Oh man.
Did I hear that there was going to be a short run vinyl re-release of some of their albums?
The first six. They don't re-release the Sammy stuff ever, which is sad because they would make a ton of money.
So sad, yeah.
But yeah, a while ago they talked about remastering the first six again, all the Dave stuff basically. So, which is sad if you want to try and get things like Van Halen 3 on vinyl. You have to get like an unofficial release.
Corey, do you have 5150 on vinyl?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. The only ones I'm missing at this point are Tokyo Dome and Van Halen 3. And A Different Kind of Truth, which is like $500 on Discogs. It's crazy.
The question is, when are you going to fork over some cash for the Van Halen 3 vinyl?
Well, you know what? There's an opportunity, actually. Some guy's selling one for $105, and I'm like, hey, geez, should I? Would you guys pay $105 for Van Halen 3? Let's go around the room.
Fuck no. Absolutely not.
$105 for Porno Graffiti, maybe.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
I paid a lot less for that one, actually. Yeah.
Wow, you should pay for that one. That's a great album.
I paid like $65 for that one.
What if we all pitched in and got like maybe a couple of Van Halen 3 vinyls just as a show of good faith towards Gary and as an apology?
I tell you what, Chaz is all in for no, don't do it. You know, if it was like $50, I'd probably consider it because I'm a completionist, and there's some good tracks on that one. But the majority of it, as we've covered on the show, the ones we covered, there's only one I liked. Without You, I thought was a banger. So, Davey says a big nope. So yeah, I'll go with it. How many say I? Zero. There you go. So I think I'll let that deal pass and let Van Halen 3 go bye-bye.
Yeah, a little too steep. A little too steep for that particular album. So, again, sorry, Gary, and sorry to whomever is bold enough to come up with that price tag for that vinyl. So,
no kidding.
Good luck to you is all I have to say. So,
tell you what, I paid $100 for Balance on vinyl, though, and I don't regret that.
Because that's Balance, and why, you know, I mean, I'm personally not a vinyl collector, so paying $100 for vinyl to me just sounds like, ooh, I don't know. But then again, I've spent that amount of money on dumber things. So you hear that, Michael Keaton Batman figurine? You're doing great. You're doing great. Anywho.
Not to delay the start of the next episode, but it's funny, right? Because they're doing those remixes or doing the reissues of those vinyl. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to go back and remaster anything, go back and do your 812 because it's a great album with some great songs in it. But it just needs to be fattened up and remixed. Like, come on.
Yes.
That's the one we want. Great songs on there. It'd be great to hear those songs the way they should be. Like, honestly.
Yeah. Back in that Blue with a proper remix would be a fucking killer. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and to be fair, there's a big difference between remixing and remastering an album and just issuing a remastered album, because that mix is going to stay the same with some things slightly more or less highlighted. Yeah. It's basically just saying, hey, we have a new mastering chain. Let's throw the album through it. We'll re-release it on vinyl and see if we can get some money.
Yeah, no, I want it remixed. All you 812 remixed. Remastered, yeah, sure, but remixed 100%. Yeah.
Yep.
So, well, we got one song down. We've we used our manifestation powers. We all failed. Before we kick it back into the wheel again, here's what I'll ask. Some of us we picked two songs that we wanted to manifest. So you can still keep manifesting your other song, or both the songs, since again we didn't land on the ones that we all wanted. Or do we want to re-manifest? I will give everyone the opportunity, if they want to re-manifest. So if you want to re-manifest, please speak it now. Who wants to re-manifest? Anyone? Kevin wants to. What you got?
Okay, so I'm gonna keep my DLR track. I still want I'm the One.
Okay,
but I'm gonna change my Sammy track. I'm not going to go with Pound Cake, but I'm going to go with something from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Yeah. And that is the fantastic, underappreciated Spanked. Just to annoy Corey.
Yes!
You're a son of a bitch.
Look, as much as I really want to do a Humans Being, I got to say, just to see the reaction on everyone's faces, including my co-host. I think I too will throw in some little juju for Spanked as well, because it'll just make for some great comedy, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there we go.
I think that would be served best on a night when John Mariano's on the show. That seems like his kind of song. I've been hearing about the song Pound Cake for so long, and I still haven't heard it. So I'm going to change mine to Pound Cake.
Ooh. Ooh. See, okay. See, now, yeah, now I feel like we absolutely need to. This is a show for Pound Cake. We all need a slice of Pound Cake. That's what I think. But if we get, Spanked or Pleasure Dome, cool too. It's fun. Corey, are you gonna stick with your guns here? Are you just gonna doubly unmanifest those two tracks I listed?
I'm gonna unmanifest one because we had a Dave track on the first show. I originally said somebody get me a doctor from Van Halen 2. We'll take that one away. I'm gonna keep Runaround because we came within just an inch of hitting Runaround the first time. So I'm gonna keep that one. I'd like to hit that. The other one, because we just mentioned it, Black and Blue. From OU812. I would love to hear that tonight. So give me a couple of Sammy tracks.
Very, very cool. All right. So without further ado, getting into it, we can't read the poll because we already did that. So it's time to go to the wheel. We have our manifestations. We have our change manifestations. And now we just we leave it up to the mercy of the wheel. Whenever you're ready, Corey, everybody on the panel ready. Whenever Sammy's ready backstage, let her rip and let it roll.
Okay, well, last time I hit shuffle six times, mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick my favorite panelist. Nobody else be offended, but Todd McGinnity, give me a number between 1 and 10. That's how many times I'm going to shuffle
that's fair.
Here tonight.
That's fair.
Two, all right. 1, 2, there we go. Take it away, Sammy.
Here we go!
Oh, it's almost Spanked, is it? Oh, it's Runaround.
Oh,
yes. Yay! Holy shot, motherfucker.
Hold your shot.
That's twice. Take that, Eric Senich.
Look how close it was to Ain't Talking About Love.
Shit.
That is heartbreaking.
Look how close it was to Spanked. Jeez.
I mean, also, yes.
God damn it.
Kevin was trying. He was giving it his all there.
Give me the juju. Yeah.
Well done, Corey.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
There you go. Well, all right. So if the panel wasn't happy with our previous song we discussed, which, spoiler alert for those who didn't tune into part one, they were not. Maybe, perhaps, Runaround will do some good. A good Sammy tune. So, yeah, I'm excited. We don't get a lot of 4 on Lawful songs. So far on the show, so any time we can spin a song from that track or from that album is a win in my book.
Chaz is happy. He says yes.
Damn right you're happy. And how dare you? He also was voting for a Van Halen 3. Ha
That's
ha.
True.
You're funny. You're not funny. Fine.
All right, go around the room. Let's talk about Runaround a little bit.
Scott Haskin, you got any? Are you familiar with Runaround?
This will be a first time here for me.
Ooh, nice. Okay. All right. So, Kevin, what have you to say about Runaround very briefly?
I love this song. Yeah, it was kind of right around the, because I talked to you guys before about this. I got into Van Halen right around that sort of OU812 era. So, Fuck was the first album that came out after I became a Van Halen fan. So, it's those albums that come out when you become a fan are always special, right? Because you're waiting for the release. Yep. And it's a different kind of experience. So yeah, this song's just an absolute, well, I'm not going to show my hand, but it's a banger. It's an absolute banger.
He says it's a banger, so we'll see if he's right. Todd, you got any little brief thoughts about Runaround before we get into it?
It's a good song. I mean, it's not a Dave song. I'm more of the Dave era type of a fan, I guess. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Sammy. I mean, Sammy's great. His vocal range is awesome. I mean, even to this day, I think his range is great. It's a decent song.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. We'll accept that. It's a decent song. We'll get into it. Yeah.
We'll
so
get into
yeah.
it. We'll get into it more.
I feel like you're just shitting my cornflakes.
Sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just don't listen to Sammy as much as I do Dave.
Yep.
Fair enough. Sean, how about you?
Todd, I think this is the first time we saw Van Halen was on this tour, was it not?
Yes. Yes. Actually,
so this was cool as hell. Like, we saw them, Alice in Chains opened. My introduction to Alice in Chains. It was seeing Van Halen live for the first time. They sounded so good. This album had a little bit of meaning because of the timeline of us seeing them live. So I don't want to spoil my reaction to this particular song, but this era was this was kind of my semi era.
Man, the fuck era tour with Alice in Chains, my god.
Mm-hmm. I think it was their first album of I think it was.
Was it Dirt?
No. Album before.
Oh.
I believe, yeah. This is before they were anybody.
Yeah.
I believe.
I'm blanking on that first album name. Please.
Yeah, Angry Chair.
Facelift.
Facelift, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There you are. Great era, great tunes, great bands. So that's fantastic. So, yeah. All right, run around.
Power to them for having a band like Alice in Chains open for them.
Yeah.
But Ed was a fan of Jerry Cantrell, right? So
there you go. That's just good recognizing good. You know, this is like even the early stages, Alice in Chains, as they were still, you know, ripping it pretty hard. So that's really, really cool. I wish to God I could have been around to see that. That would have been fantastic. So. Corey, we know that you were excited about this one, so I guess we know your thoughts already.
Well, I don't want to tip my hand, but no, I did call my shot. And spun right around.
We'll say it's been a while since he's probably jammed this particular track. So hey, maybe you'll feel differently, or maybe you won't. We'll guess we'll find out.
That's right. One thing I wanted to ask. One thing we didn't do in the first episode that I always love to do is I love to play the game. How many times did Van Halen play this song live?
Oh, yes, that's right.
So we're going to do that for Dancing in the Streets because we didn't do it on the live show. So let's start with Sean McGinnity. How many times do you think Van Halen performed Dancing in the Streets live?
59 times.
59 times. Remember, this is Price is Right rules. So right. You got to get closest to the actual number without going over. Scott Haskin?
If it was that big of a hit, I'm going to say probably more than that. I'm going to say 105.
105. All right. Kevin Brown.
Okay. Here's my thinking on this. That keyboard part is really repetitive and sounded a little bit programmed almost. I don't know if that was. So I don't know if Eddie's going to play that live and then switch. I'll say they didn't play it live.
Cool. All right.
I'll throw a curveball and say they didn't play it live.
Okay. Todd McGinnity.
I'd say 56.
56. Mark Meyer. It's Price is Right rules. Yeah, that's within the rules here. Mark, what do you say?
I think in their entire span, they played this song 80 times.
80 times. Well, one of you hit the exact number without going over.
Wow.
And it's Kevin Brown. They've never played this fucking song.
Oh, really?
According to setlist.fm. Yep.
Wow.
Do I get double points for that then?
Did they not tour on this album? Because how would you have a hit like that and not play it live?
Yeah, no, they did Little Guitars 307 times, Cathedral 200 times, The Full Buck 115. So they toured this album.
But I think you'd need to play a track, right? You wouldn't be able to play that keyboard part live. So, and I don't think Van Halen played to tracks. Did they? I don't know for sure, but I don't think they did. So
no.
that was my reasoning. Was like, how would you do that live? And they didn't play with sort of a keyboard player in the background, so I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think Dave and Eddie like might have fought it out over this one? Because Eddie didn't like the song. He didn't like that it was unfinished. He didn't like any of that stuff. And Eddie or Dave's probably like, hey, yeah, we're gonna do this song. And Eddie's like, fuck you, we're not doing this.
You know what? Eric Senich is about 10 minutes away, so we could ask him. He would probably
know.
Definitely
really want to know.
But
to
now,
Kevin's point, I think that's fair. But I guess I was thinking that by the time that they got around to doing the tour, Eddie would have figured out a way to play the song instead of doing it on keyboard, was kind of my thinking. But yeah, because I thought that a little bit too. I'm like, that would be a really tough thing to pull off.
Yeah.
But I just figured they would have worked around it instead of done it replicating what they did on the album.
Mm-hmm. So let's play the same game with a runaround from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. And because Kevin hit it right on the nose and gets $100, which Mark will be sending you a check for $100 American, which is $280 Canadian. So spend that wisely.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, you can probably get that entire Tom Petty Live at the Fillmore box set for that.
I've already got it. There.
All right. So
surprise.
Back up.
Kevin Brown, how many times, according to setlist.fm, did Van Halen perform Runaround?
I guess they played it pretty much every time they played live with Sammy after it was released. So it was only one album. Well, yeah, only one album after it. So I'd say
one seventy-five. Okay, Todd McGinnity.
I'd say about 150.
150. Okay, Mark Kamire.
145.
Sean McGinnity.
This was a single. This had a video. It got massive MTV airplay. I'm going to go with 630.
630. All right. Scott Haskin.
Wow.
Because I also think Sharon also sang it, but I could be wrong.
No, that's a good call.
I didn't think of that.
Scott Haskin.
I'm sticking with 105, which I think is also the number that we're about to see Mark Kamire's Michael Keaton Batman figurine go on eBay for.
I will never sell that. It's mine.
Better not sell that.
I'd be upset. I'm never selling it.
Well, I tell you what, one of you overshot it by about 300. That was Sean. He's way out of it. It was actually 298. So technically, really? Kevin Brown got it again. You picked 175.
That was now you got to send the guy a T-shirt. What are you going to do now?
Man, I should have said 200. That was my instinct.
yeah, that's surprising. I don't know, because how many gigs did they play then with Sammy on those two after that was released? They must have played. They must have been on tour constantly then.
Well,
did Sharon sing it? Like, is that what's the breakdown?
I don't know.
Of the years?
I got to look this up because I.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? They played it 80 times in 2004.
Ah, holy shit, yeah, that's tour and then some then, right?
Yeah, the majority would have been in 2004, actually, so.
Wow.
Pretty interesting. I know
stuff.
Reva Flav asked, how big a hit in the record charts was Dancing in the Streets? It was top 40, it hit number 38, it peaked at 38.
Really, that's all?
Yeah, Sean said 59, he's wrong again. God, he hasn't got anything right here tonight. But thanks for playing, Sean.
I'm not a specialist. I'm not a professional.
Whoa, you're not
an expert.
You're not. Get out.
Nope.
I was just looking at this on because I wanted to check that too on setlist.fm. Velvet Revolver covered this.
Yeah.
What?
That would have Slash playing this would have been fucking wicked.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't cover it when I saw them in Ozfest 2005, and for good reason, because Scott didn't. Let's just say it wasn't his best day.
It was a Scott day.
Yeah, it was a Scott day, and for those of you that know, you know, it was a Scott day.
I'll tell you what, Sammy in the Circle still performing right around. So if you get a chance to see Sammy in the Circle on tour, you might get to hear this song. So.
So that would have gotten my number up to 630. No.
I just looked up too. So it was the Rock Hall induction was when they played it. They played Ain't Talking About Love and Runaround. Those are two songs they played when they
were on Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. Out of the entire catalog, yeah. But total plays, Sean, 533. So you were still over.
Damn it.
Nice try, though. All right, what do you say, Mark?
Wrong. The price is wrong, Bob.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Yeah, well, with that said, yes, I know you are excited to get this thing going, so without further ado, from the Fuck album, Run Around, please.
All right. First of all, anytime Van Halen kicks in with a guitar solo,
oh yeah,
fan fucking tastic, right? But how great is Alex on that, right?
God damn it,
incredible!
When he comes off beat like that, when he does that, he comes off beat just that little half stutter step thing that he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just beautiful.
That's exactly what I was just gonna say.
Yeah,
and just how he's hitting that bell, man.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's perfect. Oh.
I'll throw over to the drummers who sort of know. I don't think Alex's drums ever sounded better than on this album.
No, absolutely not. No, this is
just
the best.
They capture exactly what he sounds like.
Yep. Yeah.
Again, one of the few verses that I could hear Dave singing, like a Sammy vocal performance that Dave, that because he's got that mm-hmm. low sort of pitch,
mm-hmm.
he could nail that bit. Now, later on in the song, not quite so much, but, and he's got, the lyrics actually are a little bit Davey, I think. I don't know, maybe Todd's going to shake his head and roll his eyes at me for saying that, but it's got a bit of that, it's got a little bit of that Dave swagger too, I think, you know, where he's not being completely hammy, but it's got a bit of it, right? So a little bit of personality.
You gotta
maybe that's why I like the lyrics.
Pull up these lyrics. We got to see this.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm a fan of the lyrics, because they're a little Davey, because I love the lyrics of this song.
Jeez, I hope it's not like the lyrics like last time we watched.
No, let's not go down that road again, for fuck's sake.
Splaying. What's it? Splaying.
Splay, splat, and bone. Yeah.
There we go, yeah. Splat and bone.
Where's that t-shirt?
It's available on TeePublic. Thank you, Sean, for the plug.
I'm buying it right now.
Yeah.
Do it. We appreciate you. Thank you, Sean.
I just did a control F, aliens. We're safe. There are no aliens in the making of this song.
but are we sure, though?
Hey, if aliens helped them write this song, I'm all in favor of it.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Chaz says, Fuck is one of their best albums, and this sound is the best one on the album. There you go. All right, I'll bring the lyrics back up for you boys again. I love that. She ain't about to give you itch around. Well, she can take me for a little ride just as long as she drives me home. Around the block, maybe once or twice, and then some loving, wouldn't that be nice?
And I just want to point out that there's a line in the song saying, oh, what a fool believes, and mm-hmm. that is yet another connection to Michael McDonald and Van Halen.
Oh, there you go.
Just throwing that out there.
Todd, you gotta love that guitar in there, man, right? He's just playing those dirty licks underneath that verse. Like, that's fantastic.
So nice.
That's just a good vocal run too, man. Like, yeah. Just, say what you want about the lyrics itself, but I mean, just the melody is so on point. That's only the way Sammy can do it.
When it's that lift at the end, the last line in the verse, right? It's yes. steady, and then he bah, 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 right up at the end.
So good.
Coming up is one of maybe my all-time favorite Van Halen bridge. I love this bridge going into the chorus. Oh my God, I'm stiff, and Todd didn't even say anything.
What was that belly thing again? Belly sticks? Was that the thing or something?
Tummy sticks.
Tummy sticks, yeah.
Belly sticks. Belly sticks would probably be like something else, but we don't have to talk about that. But for all of you out there in the who weren't in the know about wondering whenever we were going to get to that song that we always play when we spin the wheel, here you go. There it is.
So that line, I want what I wanted, I always like those kinds of, not quite alliterative, but they're sort of that, it's kind of semantically null,
yeah.
But lyrically it really works, right? Like, I want what I wanted, it's just a really cool aphorism. It's a neat thing, right? I really like that. So.
I love that. I got her in my sights, but just out of reach. Like, yeah. Who couldn't relate to that? Scott, this is a first-time listen for you. What are you thinking?
Well, first, it's great to hear some context for the slight amount of this song that I hear every week on your show.
There you go.
I have to go to the production. I think the production on this is fantastic. I love Eddie's guitar sound. I wouldn't change a thing about it. The drums are just banging. They are badass sounding on this song. And I mean, Alex is playing full steam. It's great. I love the vocal sound. I think this is a great song so far. Not to tip my hat.
Yeah, but Sean, I know you watch as much music as I did back in the day. Chad says video for this song kicked ass. Do you remember the video where they're on that revolving stage during the chorus?
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck, was that killer?
That was a great video. That was a great music video.
Yeah. You want to see Van Halen having fun playing a song, and then when that stage gets revolving, like during this, oh, chef's kiss. It's absolutely phenomenal.
That and Pound Cake were just amazing videos.
Yep. I'm totally voting this stream is over.
You know, there's another thing there with that verse is one chord.
Yeah,
one quarter, and I love it when bands can do it. You can sit on the groove, and it's all about the movement of the drums, that bass, and Mike's just bum 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 bum. He's just walking the bass along, you know, and it's just like it's all groove. You don't need to have different chords in there, and then it's the big change in the bridge, like you said, Corey. It's so effective when you do that.
One chord. They figured if Kiss can do it, we can do it.
Much better,
interestingly, I was thinking the hi-hat sound is so good with Alex, and I was wondering what he plays. So I just looked it up, and according to the internet, where we get the most accurate information 100% of the time, he is playing Paiste 2002 Sound Edge hi-hats. 2002s are my favorite series of any cymbals, period. I'll probably never be able to afford them, but I love them. 15-inch 2002 Sound Edge hi-hats, and that makes sense because they got a real swish sound to them.
15-inch? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's 15 inch.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course, yeah.
No, he's playing 12s. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think the rims on his car are like the smallest rims?
No.
He's got the biggest rims on his drum set too, right? Guaranteed.
Yep, he's got that Hyundai just jacked to the balls with the biggest rims you can find.
Alex, Van Halen driving a Hyundai. That's the best thing I've ever
done. They do, because I drive.
I just wanted to say that would be cool.
My first car, but Alex,
maybe not, especially
probably
in '92.
Not. Not.
But I'm seeing a Kevin Brown T-shirt design of Alex Van Halen in a Hyundai with giant fucking monster truck wheels. Oh,
that would be such a niche like design. Like that's only like if you know, you know, and if you know, like hey, you listen to the show.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say how dirty the guitar is. There's just all these like kind of black and bluish vibes of just dirt. It's just dirt. It's just beautiful. It's dirt. It's like I don't know. It's just so good. It's those moments where I used to watch my brother perform on stage and he'd be making that fart face right in the middle of a solo. You know, it's so dirty.
Alex, the stink dirty. Face. You got to put on the guitar stink face every time. That's when you know you're playing right.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you're getting into it.
I always wondered, are you passing gas at that moment, Todd? Or is that, I don't know, whatever.
Stank face. It's a thing. Yeah, I hope everyone at home took a drink every time Sean said dirt.
Oh, shit.
Well, I did.
Well, just, so Todd and Mark, like my best friend is a guitar player too. And one thing that he always says about Eddie, and it's, you know, it's not something that no one says, but we all know that he can shred, and we all know that he's probably the best lead guitar in rock history, probably, or hard rock. But it's his rhythm playing that's more interesting, because that song there, he could just chug. That could just be, it could be open chords, he could just chug along with it. But he's putting so much into it that it's the rhythm section that he's playing is so fucking interesting. You know what I mean? But it's also not taking center stage. It's just, he sits behind the groove and Sammy's melody line. But when you actually listen to what he's playing, it's like, actually, it's pretty fucking cool.
It's very colorful.
Yeah.
Like you could, like you say, he could chug along if he wanted to, but he plays the chords, but then there's some nuances to his playing for the rhythm that really makes it kind of stand out. Yeah. I mean, the old, like going from 5150, OU812, and then to this one, his guitar has changed over, has morphed over the years, like his sound. Like if you listen to the old Van Halen albums, I mean, he only comes out in one ear. Okay. Yeah. And then once you hit, I think 5150, then all of a sudden he's, wow, he's coming in stereo. And then he also has this chorusy type of sound that in his new sound that he has, which really stands out. But so he just takes that and then he goes a step further and just adds more stuff to it. So I mean, he's such an innovator, and yeah. And his sound has changed so much over the years. But yeah, he's but you can tell when it's Eddie when he's playing. He's yeah. like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah. And it probably comes along with the fact that he's the only guitar player in the band. So you got to keep it interesting. And, you know, he out of necessity, you got to know, you got to pick your battles of whether you want to just stick to subtle rhythms or if you're just going to be in the face all the time. And, you know, that's going to get stale after a while. And I think he knows that. I think he was very much aware of his playing and what the song needed versus what he wanted to do.
Like you were saying, playing Dancing in the Streets live, being the only guitarist in the band, if he was playing the keyboards, who would play the guitar?
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't have Sammy in the band back then, right, you know, who could kind of fill in.
Yeah. Chaz says, the first really good version of the Wolfgang Ernie Bald guitars. So there you go. Yeah.
Ooh.
Speaking of guitars, we have a solo coming up.
Great, so you get that contrast with the bass and the guitar. They're syncopated in the verses where Eddie's kind of playing around the beat, mm-hmm. but in the chorus they go straight. They're on time, so they're playing basically the same lick, right? And Eddie's putting a little bit in extra, but it's just matching, so it gives that space again to the vocal and the rhythm. It's just so cool. I love all those little production points, right? You know, when you, because that's a workup in the studio. You know, they've got the basic idea. And, okay, well, how can we put a bit of salt and pepper on this? How can we sort of, you know, adjust things so it sounds really cool and pops? And I'm sure that's I'm sure you've got, when you've got an external producer of that caliber who'd say, you know what, what about during that section, Michael, just play that root kind of line that Eddie's playing, just to kind of keep that, make it really pop, that little, just that line pop. Those decisions get made in the studio all the time. It might not have been the case in the demo, but yeah, I just love that bit.
Hang on, Andy Johns also did the Kill the Dwarfs album, Dirty Weapons, too, which is an amazingly sounding album with great separation on the drums, which yeah. is exactly what we're seeing here again. Andy Johns was a great drum producer, for sure.
Well he did Zeppelin. Right, he did
Bottom, yeah. I mean, give me a break. And didn't he do Exile? Wasn't it Exile, the Stones album he did?
Exile? Oh, maybe.
I think he did Exile. Or
you might be right there.
Or he was one of the engineers, maybe. Or I think he did. Yeah.
I'm looking now.
He recorded a Cranberries album that has the song Salvation on it, so that's a win, okay?
All right, I got to look this up. Andy Johns.
Andy Johns did Night Songs by Cinderella.
Yes, he did.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Hey, that's a great
And Long Cold Winter. Long Cold Winter. Great album from the 80s.
Oh, my God. Long Cold Winter?
I love Fred Corey's drums on that album. They sound just
except he didn't perform drums on that album.
Bringing that up.
What?
No, they had a session guy.
That's right. He
Cinderella's first two records. It's not Fred Corey. He did the tours. He didn't do the albums.
He did the tours and the videos, but he wasn't in the studio. That's absolutely right. I forgot.
Isn't that crazy?
No, I'm angry. He did
chicken foot. Anyone on the chat still?
Chicken foot. I think we lost. Did we lose everybody? No.
Well, Christy says, get out of my appliances, John. So she's still kicking around. The Mariano haunted dustbuster went off again. So.
It did. It did. Like, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to have to like perform like a ritual cleansing.
By the way, Andy Johns.
Now I'm looking at Andy Johns' his discography. This is phenomenal. What he's done.
Did he do Exile? Was he on Exile? I don't remember that.
No, I don't think he ever did Stones.
No, it wasn't him.
Okay. Stones album. He did a lot of Free. He did Rod Stewart, Foolish Behavior, back in 1980.
Yep. I'm going to look this up because I'm...
Autograph. He did Loud and Clear by Autograph.
He did a few Satriani ones. Actually, some of the better Satriani ones.
Which one? Did he? Oh, Extremist? Surfing.
An Extremist.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh,
really? Phenomenal album.
Did some LA Guns.
Drums again. Drums on the Extremist
and Chickenfoot.
Yeah, yeah, Chickenfoot.
There you go.
Which actually, I can say, is good.
I've never heard a bad sounding Satriani song in my life. And you can argue the writing or the playing, but I've never heard a bad sounding.
He's incapable of that. He's incapable of sounding bad.
That's true.
Yeah. Don't go to our show because we talk about Joe way too much. Way too much.
In fact, if you're an enthusiast.
The next episode is called Let It Joe, Let It Joe. Bye never mattered anyway. Yeah, that's the latest episode.
Thank God Eric Senich is in here. He would disown us all for fucking
that
up.
Where the hell is he at?
Bruce Fairbairn produced Balance. I know that for a fact.
Yes.
Andy Johns. Andy Johns was the engineer with his brother Glenn on Exile on Main Street, not the producer.
Okay.
I knew the name, but I couldn't. Yeah, that was just I was losing my mind there for a minute.
Oh my goodness.
That's holy upsetting.
Shit,
that solo is upsetting. It's so upsetting. It's just like, fuck it. Like, that just makes me want to take my invisible guitar that I have with me at all times, just be like,
just throw it away.
It's never going to get that good. It's just never, it's never going to get there.
My drum set's right on the other side of that camera. I almost walked over.
You just started playing? Yeah, I was kind of with you. Yeah.
I got a question for the drummers, and really, actually, everybody. I'd like to get to know everyone's thoughts on this. During the last part of the solo, when it goes to double time, mm-hmm. we hear Alex riding on a crash cymbal. Mm-hmm. Now, on my podcast, I talk about this a lot because it's something that Russell Gilbrook from Uriah Heep does quite a bit. Big fan of that. I like it and I hate it. It really depends on how it's mixed because sometimes the cymbal frequency can really just overshadow everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think this was right on the border of infringing on Eddie's guitar a little bit. What do you guys think?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so is that, is for what you're saying, is how it's mixed matters most. It's not really the sonic of it. It's just how much it's up in the mix.
Right.
I'd have to listen back. I can't quite remember exactly how loud it was, but Sean, I think maybe you.
I think you're right that it's borderline, but it doesn't cross. I think the mixing is just absolutely pristine. Because
it's like right on that edge, right? Like where if it was like even slightly louder, it would be too much. But it's just like it rides that line very finely.
Can you screw it back a little bit, Corey, and just let's listen to that?
Yeah, can we do
that little bit of a section again? Just because I'm kind of curious to see. Yeah, I get what you're saying, Scott. And it's one of those things where, you know, as a drummer, you're beating the shit out of that thing. Like,
he's picking a higher register cymbal, too. I mean, if he was using like an 18-inch crash versus a pitch like that, would not cut through the guitar frequencies as much. So the cymbal pitch and the mixing are the biggest things, but that volume is like, it's so close.
Yeah.
Like, tell you what, that dark square that we see below us here, it's none other than Eric Senich joining the call.
Whoa! Wait a minute.
You can't see him, but he's there.
I'm literally. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I'm literally driving right now. So, no, this is the dedication. Hold on. How do I turn my camera on here?
We see that you're driving somewhere dark.
It's a finger now and then. Yes. Some kind of alien. It looks like some kind of alien reaching for the opening.
Yeah, I think it's the anal probe reaching for the opening. I'm in a Ford white Bronco. I just dropped OJ off, so I'm just trying to get home.
And he's listening to Love Walks In.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, no, I'm just about to head home so I can join you. I didn't think you guys would still be going.
Still going. Actually, Eric.
Of course.
Yeah, the first song we spun tonight was Dancing in the Streets. Which
I heard that. I heard that.
Four of the panelists voted. Yeah, they said this dream is over. Both Mark and I said, this is what dreams are made of. I know you're a fan of this song. What would be your comments on Dancing in the Streets?
Oh, yeah, thumbs up to that one. So what was it, split? It was 2-2?
It was 4-2.
It was 4-2.
Oh, how many guys? How many people are there? Oh, we got Sean, we got Todd,
we got Kevin Brown, Scott Haskin,
yeah.
No,
I love Dancing in the Streets. That I would definitely give a thumbs up. Yeah, that was, and I'm sure you guys talked about it, but that was the one Eddie had that opening he had written for another song altogether. But Dave and Templeman wanted to do some covers, so Eddie begrudgingly said, "Okay." But that would have been cool to see what that would have been as an original song.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, that kind of makes a little bit of sense in because we were talking about that song not being quite sure what it wants to be. It's kind of one of those hybrid-y sort of it feels unfinished. That kind of makes sense when you say that. I didn't know that. So.
Right. Sean's got a dog. What is his vote on Dancing in the Streets?
Luna does not like Dancing in the Streets.
Oh no, Luna! Come on.
Come on, Luna. My man, Sean. Luna.
Now, the current song we're covering, Eric, is Runaround. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Oh, yeah, man. Love Runaround. Yeah, you know what? I'm just pulling in now. I'm just going to head in, and I'll rejoin you guys.
Perfect. We'll keep all vamping. Right, we just got done the guitar solo, but now we have Patty from the Judas Priest cast joining us. Fantastic. Welcome. How's it going?
Thank you. Oh, well, I just woke up. Are you over?
Well, it's so great you're here. We're halfway through our second song, but Hattie, now that you've hopefully got a cup of coffee, and you tell us a little bit about the Judas Priest cast.
Well, just put her on the spot 2 seconds after she logs in.
I know.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, that's how we roll, I guess. So, yeah, we are.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Going strong, I think. So we are trying to record one episode in every other weekend. And yes, both of us, me and Georgia, are very big fans. So we don't have much things scripted. We just go with the flow and somehow we record something.
And hey, that's what Mark and I do too. Yeah,
that's literally what Corey and I do every week.
But we do have some guidelines, I have to say, because I kind of have OCD and And Georgie is very organized, so we do have some guidelines. But yeah, we are also doing it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining the call here and on Deep Dive December. We're glad you could make it, and we encourage everyone to go check out the Judas Priest cast on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. You guys introduce our new panelists who just showed up here.
No, I just popped in.
How's it going, Mark?
What's up? How's it going, guys?
Hey,
what's up, Mark?
Hi.
Hey, Mark,
we just did Little Ain't Enough on our podcast this week.
Oh, I heard that, Mark. Are you serious? Oh, shit.
Great album. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. Like, I don't think he's on as many tracks as they think he is. I don't think.
Exactly.
Yeah. From what we can tell, I mean, there's a lot of Steve Hunter on that record. Like a ton.
Yeah.
Like a ton. And, you know, I was actually trying to play the solo for Little Ain't Enough. And it's okay up until you get to one little stupid part, like toward the end of the solo. It's so fast that your fingers get all jammed up trying to play it.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a monster.
Yep.
You ever see the video of him playing on stage, doing all that crazy shit? Like,
yeah, throwing the yo-yo with the yo-yo and playing with one hand. It's kind of crazy.
Mark, while we got you here, maybe tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, Rock Roulette Podcast. We kind of do what you guys do, Corey, except we do a whole album. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we spin our wheel, which is real, too, by the way. It's not a fake wheel. Yes. It's a real wheel.
Believe it.
So we basically spin like 900 albums, and it usually takes us 2 episodes to get through because we do a half an album a podcast. So
crazy.
It takes a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of... a lot of work.
We could go on and on here, you know.
We could, yeah. But you know what? We should totally get back to run around.
Yeah, it's only been an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Joel, have you guys played any of it yet? Because I missed.
We're about halfway through, actually.
Yeah, we're halfway through. It's fine. Yeah.
I'm going to back it up a little bit because I want to hear that Eddie solo again.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Play the solo again, and we'll go from there.
All right, here we go.
Big stop. I love that big stop in the middle of that solo. And Scott, is what you go back to when you talk about dancing in the street, where you felt that Alex wasn't quite given enough in those transitions.
Yeah.
That could have used a big stop like that, right?
Absolutely.
That's a dynamic shift that you can use really effectively. It's so cool. Yeah.
And I love the sound of the kick drum in the first half of that too, before he starts going double time, especially that double hit right before the stop.
Yeah.
Like, it's so punchy and so powerful.
Yeah.
I just love that. And it really complements it. It feels like Eddie gave him room to set up the stop. And I really like the way that they worked together on that.
It was mostly Andy Johns. Templeman came in to clean it up because Sammy just was butting heads with Andy Johns. And Templeman came in.
Okay, go into that, Eric. I'm curious.
Yeah.
So Andy Johns was asking Sammy to do some stuff, I think, vocally, or having to redo stuff. Really, the main issue was... that Sammy was like, you know, Andy was just always fucked up, always wasted, drinking, and it was just like, it was just ridiculous. And that's really where the tension starts to build. And so somehow Templeman gets involved in this because he hadn't worked with the band in at that time 7 years. I mean, 1984, that was the last time.
Great, yeah.
So I'm trying to recall how that all came about. I believe Sammy called Templeman, obviously, because he knew him through his Montrose days, but I have to check on that again. So Templeman came in just to basically just finish stuff up, but it's mostly Andy Johns, and Andy Johns was the guy that Alex wanted. He wanted the John Bonham sound, and who better than Andy Johns? Andy Johns was the guy that he's instrumental in the When the Levee Breaks sound, when John Bonham's in the stairwell.
Hedley Grange,
So yeah, but you know, Templeman, how much he did, don't know. But a little interesting on Runaround, I believe. No, it's Top of the World. Steve Lukather from Toto does a little backing vocals on that.
Oh, cool.
But maybe Runaround, but I don't think so. Yeah, and I mean, Runaround's it's one of the best Sammy Ayer songs. I had a friend who just only loved Dave Era Van Halen, but he said there's only one song I like from Sammy, Runaround.
Well, I got to tell you, Eric, I called my shot for the second time at the beginning of this episode. I said Runaround and I spun it. So,
oh, you got it. Nice.
So fuck you.
Suck it, Eric.
I'm one up on you. Yeah.
How about the video for Runaround too?
Amazing.
Mike Lancy was joking about that.
I haven't seen this video. This is everybody
you
keeps
see
mentioning.
It.
Oh, like, I haven't missed this video.
I have it running in the background right now. Still,
I'm gonna have to throw it on after this.
Mikey said he almost, you know, took a dive right up because the things going around.
There's a section of the video where he's hanging onto the drum set. Looks like.
That was moving pretty quick. Like when you're standing there and it's going at that clip, like that'd be hard to do.
I'm going to say about Andy Johns, we had Daryl Dwarf from the Killer Dwarfs on our show, and he was talking about Andy Johns quite a bit. And what he was saying was, if you didn't click with him personally, you're fucked.
Right.
Oh. Right. Yeah. So you really had to click with him, do the drinking with him or whatever. But if you did that, then you were safe. If you weren't, which I'm assuming Sammy wasn't, maybe they weren't like on the same wavelength. Then
yeah.
All of a sudden,
yeah, that's
because I heard he was really hard on you. And if
he was, yes, he was a rather cantankerous.
Yeah. So if you person, weren't,
there's the word
matching him, then you're screwed. And that's probably what happened with Sammy because
you just described every producer in Nashville.
Well, and didn't Andy Johns like delete, like accidentally erase a Sammy vocal take? And he said that's kind of the last straw.
You're right, Corey. That was it because he was so fucked up. And, you know, that's what happened. Yeah, you're right.
I got one thing right in two episodes. Thank you. Yeah,
you got it.
You're an expert, Corey. You did it. You legitimized the show. Thank you. It wasn't going to be me.
Whiskey. It's Corey's whiskey. Is. Yeah.
That's right.
And just to jump off of what Sean said, Andy Johns, like, you didn't fuck with him. He was a tough dude. In fact, he had a story about when he was working with the Stones and Mick
Thank
Jagger.
You. Yes, bring that up. Yes.
Yeah, Mick Jagger. This was, I think, I'm trying to remember which album it was. Doesn't matter. But Mick was just like, really like laying into Andy Johns. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? This is, you know, this is bullshit. That doesn't sound anything like I wanted to. And Andy Johns like got right back in his face. And yeah. Andy Johns was young. He was up and coming. He was not. And he's like, listen, you motherfucker, don't you talk to me that way, you know. And then yeah. The next day, Mick Jagger, the next morning, Mick Jagger's like, hey, mate, it's all good, man. You know, yeah. just testing you out to see if, you know, if you were on your game or not. Everything's good. You know, like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was testing you. Right. In other words, like, I'm not messing with you.
I don't
want
to catch these hands.
Yeah, you didn't mess with Andy.
Well,
Glenn
that's
Johns.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom heard that Templeman only worked on the vocals on for other
sure,
albums. Does that
make sense?
That tracks.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yep.
Mark Hattie, what do you think? You've only heard like 10 seconds of Runaround so far, but what did you think of that solo?
Well, I'm still processing. That's all I can say.
Remember, Hattie just woke up. So yeah. We're going to cut her some slack.
Good morning, Hattie.
Yeah.
Good morning. Thank you.
But to be fair, she just woke up and she's on the other side of the world. So it's not like she gets up at 9 o'clock at night and it starts her day.
That's right. Yeah.
Where are you, Hattie? Where are you coming in from?
From Bangladesh.
Wow. What time is it there?
It's 10:40, I guess. Let me check. 10:56. It's almost 11 a.m.
So true rock and roll fashion, she's still tired at like 11 a.m. in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Mark, where are you coming to us from here?
I'm from New York.
Nice.
So, yeah, East Coast. So as far as the solo goes, almost everything on that record I love from him. Lots of wah, like I put in the chat, lots of wah. But he hadn't used a lot of wah up until that point, and then all of a sudden he's on everything, but the good way. Not the Kirk Hammett way, but the good way.
Oh, boy.
I know there are going to be some people that don't like me.
Gloves are off. I'll note also that no one listed in their top 10.
No.
That's true.
Yep.
Well, anyone from Metallica.
True. Nope.
He's not in mine.
No offense. Not mine either. But no, not in my top 10.
Nope. You can't beat his phrasing. His phrasing is just impeccable, so... You can do his stuff, you can do his tapping, you can be as faster than him, you can do whatever you want, but in those little 8-bar chunks that he's allowed to actually play in, I don't think you could find a better guitar player in those 8 bars.
Yeah, Call of Cthulhu is such an amazing guitar song for me that every time I listen to that, I'm like, wow, I still can't believe that this is something that happened. And every time I listen to it, I just get, I don't know, that's one of my favorite songs, and I think his performance on that is just stellar.
Yep. And it's a good story it's based on, too.
That's right.
That it is.
Let's listen to a little more Runaround, shall we?
Do it.
It goes like this.
Listen, baby. Ooh, ow, ow. Oh, man, it's hard enough. Yeah, and you make it harder. Fill me up another satisfying. Only, she owns it.
everybody was grooving out.
I knew
I was.
Was gonna.
I was gonna wait until the end of that fucking verse, you son of a bitch. I wasn't
I was
gonna.
Too.
I'm going to go play on my kit right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I don't know. Did you hear that, Sean and Scott? Is he playing? Is there a block in there, like a percussion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so.
It's got it because there's something in there. I was like, hang on, I can't quite. I don't think it's, that's not.
It's not.
It's got to be an overdub, right? Like that's,
I think it's a wood block. I could be wrong, but I think it's a wood block.
That's what I think it is. Yeah.
I just love how I don't know how I feel about this kind of spoken word part. I feel like Ultravox just joined Van Halen for a verse.
Whoa! Hey, look, if we're gonna start dissing Ultravox,
I love Ultravox. It had that vocal feel. It sounded very much like them, and really like this song just took a real turn.
He's just trying to let you know that he wants you to make it harder and to fill him up till he's satisfied. He wants you to own him.
Despite how bad the lyrics are, it's still not taken away from the song.
Yeah.
I don't think the lyrics are all that bad. I mean,
I don't think they're bad either.
This particular section is like, okay, whatever. But I mean, it's Sammy. At this point, when they've done this album, this is to be expected. You know?
True.
I mean, it's okay. So it's a grade 7 reading level. There's not any big words. There's nothing more than three syllables.
Can't
right?
Act,
I mean,
we can't
fine.
Pretend that David Lee Roth was writing, you
Christ,
know,
no. No.
Pulitzer Prize winning shit. Come on.
No, and this lacks subtlety. But I think it's kind of like when it's the Sting.
Right.
He's a very rhythmic lyricist. Like he writes, he gets the cadence and the bounce of the lyrics.
There's
the music, right?
Yes.
And this is that same kind. It doesn't matter what the lyrics are. It just matters what the melody is, I think, in this song.
I think that's 100% on par.
Yeah. Chaz wants to know if he was talking to the aliens and potentially.
I hope probably not, based on the content of this song. I hope he's not talking about the aliens.
Eric, last week we did Love Walks In. And we talked about Sammy and his experience with aliens. And one of the Twitter commenters pretty much bitch slapped us, saying that it's really a beautiful love song. And we're like, no, it's about fucking aliens. Like
it is.
Like 100%. Like he's like, oh, it's tugging at the heartstrings of some young lady. No, he's talking about getting anal probed by fucking ET.
But to be fair, we also had John Mariano trying to argue the merit that this song is about puberty and coming into your own. And,
well,
you know,
literally.
Yeah.
You know, art is all how you interpret it. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But
exactly. That's how I think.
Yeah. Well, if you have John Mariano on as a guest, you know how it's going to get interpreted. So,
I would not recommend getting John Mariano on your shows.
I love that, Scott. You already know that that's how it goes when John Mariano shows up.
But, I've recorded enough Aerosmith shows with him to know I love the guy, but you know right where he's going to go for that jugular as soon as he sees
it.
It's never good when you start with, I love the guy, but it's never good.
Here's a cool little comment from Old Handsaw. That little breakdown always reminds me of Eurythmics. Would I Lie to You? Anyone getting a Would I Lie to You?
Totally got it. Totally got it. Yep.
Bring it back. Let's listen to it again, Corey. I didn't catch that.
Now switch over to Would I Lie to You?
You're asking too much. I'm doing so many things here, Sean. Jesus.
You're drinking.
Don't overwork my producer. Can we just talk about how great the bass sounded during that part?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yes, we can.
Let's give Mike Anthony some love. Absolutely.
Please, let's do it. Yes.
Mikey loves that album. He loves that album because Andy Johns cranked the bass up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot different from OU812, wasn't it?
It's the antithesis of OU812, rhythmically, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone downvotes this song, you're dead to me.
And by the way, again, the rhythm guitar by Eddie, right? Just listen to the rhythm.
a lot of comments on his rhythm playing, and he was voted like one of the top five rhythm guitar players of all time. And this album really showcases that, right?
I think he's the best rhythm guitarist of all time. I don't know, man.
It's really been talked about a lot.
I love Tom. He says you're doing a hell of a job, Corey. Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Right. God damn it.
We're an asylum of crazy people here. You're doing good.
Trying to keep the train on the tracks. Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I like how at that point of the song where it just stops and then there's like a slight pause before Alex goes back in.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, oh, the product of a band who's played a million hours together over the more specifically Ed and Al.
Yeah.
Locked in.
So when we talk about Eric, just so when Eddie and Alex were writing these songs together, something like this, you know, there's that sort of that chemistry between musicians who've played together for that long. Then you've got this dynamic also that they're brothers and they know each other well, so they're dialed in sort of on that personal level. But how much of that is sort of was managed afterwards to say, okay, well, we've got this raw idea and we've got this drum beat and Ed's going to play this, but how much was produced in the studio afterwards to say, okay, well, maybe let's put a stop in there, or, you know, when Ed's not playing this, not much.
I mean, a lot of it was just Pound Cake was what an example of where Alex came in with a drum beat, Ed steps in and finishes it up. Not a lot of tweaking, not a lot of like, let's add a bridge there. You know, it was primarily Ed coming up with the structure of the song. But yeah, not a lot of, you didn't need to do much, especially as the years went on. You know, earlier days, I'm sure Templeman would help out a little bit here and there. But even then,
yeah.
I mean, after all, don't forget, he overheard Eddie playing Eruption. You know, that, I mean, it just, Eddie had no clue how talented he was, you know, and then Templeman's like, roll tape, you know, and Eddie's like, oh, okay, I guess if you wanted, you know, it's just, it was a natural thing for Ed. And Eddie said, I can't play with any other drummer. Alex is the only drummer I can play with.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Which is probably for Alex going to be strange if he goes out there and does play with Satriani. Alex has never played with anybody else.
That's right. Yeah.
Never.
To get back to the point of would I lie to you? Yeah, I could totally see what the commenter was saying on that, because it's got that same pulse to it. I think it might be a little bit faster, but I could definitely see that connection.
Yeah.
By the way, Tom is going to be our first guest in 2023 because he's sucking up, so he'll bring around the show again. It's going to happen, Tom. You got it, buddy.
It'll happen. Tom
has to be on the show.
Yeah. You know, we should talk about
it
too.
He's been on once, so we'll have to bring him back.
We talked about the lyrics and they're sort of, you know, they're simplistic and whatnot, but it's a great chorus.
Yeah.
Like, this person, you walk away from this song, that chorus is in your head, you can hum it, you can sing it, it's, you know, it's commercial, and, you know, if you don't like that, that's fine, but if you're writing a song that you want to just kind of sit in people's brains, I think the kids these days, they call it an earworm, right? It's certainly an earworm.
Yeah, there's a sensibility there, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Sammy.
Now, Mark... Yeah.
That goes to Sammy, and he...
Go ahead, Eric.
Sorry, Corey, real quick, but Sammy had, by then, he knew how to come up with that stuff. Like, those last three albums leading up to when he joined Van Halen.
Yeah.
He had some producers come in and people come in to really just, you know, help him really structure those songs. And he took that with him for the rest of his career.
Fucking producers, eh?
Just the fade out, but Eddie and Alex both just bringing it home right there at the end.
Oh, you know what?
I wanted more guitar there. I wanted a little bit louder of a guitar at the end. I think that they buried it slightly.
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, again, it was a fade out, so maybe that was by design a little bit. Who knows?
I love the force of the floor on the snare though, and switch it. So and Alex is so great at that again, against switching the point of attack. So the root is the snare, and now he's working around the snare off the kick and the toms. So clever, like it's those little things. Anyway, I only learned on this podcast that there are some people out there who don't rate Alex Van Halen as a drummer.
I know.
It blew my mind. Like I couldn't.
Usually rock journalists. Like that was the one thing I couldn't believe. Like how many rock journalists just disregarded Alex Van Halen and said he's adequate. And I couldn't fucking believe it.
Right. And I've admitted that even in my personal journey, completely wrote Alex off. Just like, I love Van Halen, but you know, Alex kind of was like, whatever. But it wasn't until I started listening to other like professional musicians go, no, take a real good listen at what Alex is doing. You'll change your tune. And it was because of this show that I started really listening. And because of Corey's influence as well, because Corey's like, no, like Alex is fucking great. That I've completely changed my tune on that. Yeah. No, Alex is solid. Such a more solid of a rock and roll drummer than you could ever ask for, man.
Is it because he's so musical and he's not sort of got that, like he's not like maybe a thrashy
it's
kind
because,
of.
I think it's because he's not so show off-y. You know what I mean? Like you don't hear a ton of fills from him. Like you're never gonna hear him go full Neil Peart, you know, something like that. Because he's not that kind of drummer. That doesn't diminish his skill level. It's just those are two different kind of drummers. And when you're not a drummer like moi, you have to really kind of train your ear to really listen to specific drummers and what they're doing and things of that nature. So at the time in my past, Alex, he wasn't doing anything as what I thought was impressive because I wasn't really listening. I have completely changed my tune on that because Alex is doing so much. And it's even better because he's doing so much in a subtle way that I think it takes more skill level to be subtle than it is if you're just being flashy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think that is a big part of why he's been overlooked because he sounds like a pretty straightforward drummer unless you really pay attention. He's very correct. Deceptive in his style. Yeah. And, you know, when you're talking about people in the rock journalism world, especially I realize this is a generalization, but people that write for like rock magazines, if you go back to like Hit Parader and magazines like that, they're people that just walk in with a certain opinion. They're not open-minded. They have an agenda and that's just what they say. So if it's cool to, you know, like Alex Van Halen, they're going to be cutting edge and go, he's not that good. You know, whatever gets their name out there. I don't really take their opinions to heart.
So, Mark, this is where we all say thumbs up or thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
I think, right? Is this it?
Yeah, yeah.
Our votes.
Yep. The votes.
We have a lot on the panel now, but so I'll just go in order of the way my screens are here. Scott Haskin, you were not familiar with Runaround, I don't believe. So this was your kind of first outing. It was a little bit scrambled, to be fair. But would you say that Runaround is what dreams are made of, or would you say for you the dream is over?
Yeah, I think it's a great song. I'm obviously very familiar with the chorus from listening to this show, but I think it's got a lot of great energy to it. I love that solo section. Despite my making fun with the Ultravox comment, I actually liked that that change with the difference in vocals. I just thought it was very 80s sounding in there. It was like a British new wave band had joined Van Halen for a minute. But I think it's got great energy. I love Alex's playing on this. I love the mix of it too. I think the engineering is absolutely spot on. This is a highlight song for me for Van Halen.
Right on. There you go. There's one vote. I'm going to throw it over to Kevin Brown. Would you say Runaround is exactly what your dreams were made of, or did it just kind of fall flat and the dream is over?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, again, it's sort of a, it's a rock and roll record, but it's pop as well. Like, it's a, it's just, it, I think everything's so well balanced. I drink a lot of craft beer. I really like my craft beer, and I always look for balance in a beer. You don't want any note to be too strong. And I think in this record, everything just fits exactly where it should be. Nothing's overpowering. Nothing's missing. It's just, I think it's superb. Yeah.
Ooh, superb is a great word for it. Moving over to the Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast dudes, we're going to start with you, Sean, yourself. Would you say Run Around?
It's great. It's great. That's it.
Succinct. That's succinct.
Enough said. There it is. And then the other half, Todd. Todd, would you give this a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Todd, I haven't heard that nice deep baritone voice. Please say something.
We need. You weren't here earlier.
Oh, yes. I'm a lonely man, Todd. I'm a lonely man. Please.
Desire.
Oh, you know, we missed out. We need Todd to explain tummy sticks or whatever the fuck they were called earlier.
Yes.
What did I miss? Tom, what is it?
Should I pull that back up?
Yeah, whatever they're called. Send it over to Todd and get him to read it.
Get Todd to read the Urban Dictionary version of what tummy sticks is.
I'll put the link in the chat there.
He said no.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, I could if you want.
Bring it up. Bring it up. Bring
it up. There you go.
Oh, my God.
I haven't come enough tonight. Here
do
we
I have
go.
To click on it?
He's got the script.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, do I have to click on it?
You have to click.
I can read it again if you want. I didn't know if you wanted me to put the audience through that again or not.
God, Todd is lazy. He won't even click. Like, come on. It's one click. Let's do it.
Try it again.
Here it is. Tummy sticks. In this situation, commonly referred to as a game in which two erect men cuddle closely and face to face, causing their two erect penises or sticks to push upwards between their stomachs or tummies, combined with tummies, hence the name tummy sticks. I think if you're jamming penises into somebody's belly, you're beyond the word tummy.
Yes.
Oh, I think I'll pass on that one.
it's a also party game.
Quickly, on behalf of the group, I'd just like to apologize to Hattie for the last 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very sorry about that.
Yep.
Really
now,
but
do you guys remember when there was somebody complaining that we went off on a Kiss tangent and they're like, come on, talk about Van Halen? That's worse than
No. We're going to hear so many complaints about this episode for sure. But
this 7-hour episode.
Yeah. But Kevin Brown,
I didn't know this podcast was about sword fighting.
It is. It's about sword play.
That's right. And,
I saw a meme about a podcasting that said it was something like when the podcaster says after an hour, let's jump right in.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right in to Kevin Brown's reaction to Runaround. Is it what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I think I did it, didn't I?
Yep. Yeah, he was second.
Did you? Oh, yeah, he did, right. Yeah.
You did?
I'll do it again. If you want
good
me to
job, Mark.
Okay, cool. Look, I've been... whiskey. Anyway, let's see. We did Sean. We did Scott. We did... okay, cool. So, well, look, I know you guys came in kind of halfway through, but Hattie, this song, Run Around, how did you feel about it? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, I literally woke up, so I can... kind of not say it's not dreams are what dreams are made of because dreams are over, but I'm going to say this is what dreams are made of.
Awesome. You had us
well,
worried
on that note,
you had us worried for a second
little bit
there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I know I did. So I do kind of have one comic strip. So I do some artwork. So I have this comic strip. It's named Wolfie and Cave. So I have named my brain after Wolfie, Wolf Van Halen.
Cool.
And yeah.
That's nice. Cool.
I just wanted to let you know.
Well, send us a like. Awesome. Cool. At some point.
Well, and from the Rock Roulette podcast, Mark Pirello, I hope I pronounced that right. Would you vote this song for what you heard of it. Run around, thumbs up or thumbs down.
I don't know how you can't like this if you're a Van Halen fan. Unfortunately, we didn't get enough of Andy Johns with them. I think if he would have continued, even on the next record, it would have been great, because I think he brought out exactly the sound that Van Halen at that time needed to have, between thanks, the Mark. Bass and the drums. And
thanks, Mark.
I really wish we would have had more of that.
Good call. Yep.
Yep.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I just like how excited Kevin gets every time somebody gives a thumbs up.
I love this song, man. Like, again, we talked about it, and Mark, before you came on, we talked about this being an incredibly well-produced Van Halen album, where you get everyone playing well, but you can hear them. You can hear everyone doing exactly what they do very, yep. very well. And that's, you know, Andy Johns, and he's pretty badass.
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. we throw it over to Eric Sinich himself. I'm pretty sure I know how this is going to go, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Eric,
this is only two songs by Van Halen.
You think Run Around's okay, or is it just kind of not okay? What do you think?
Well, I'm just going to say that this is a great pop rock song, great single, great hook, but it's not one of those songs that is a disposable hit. It's got musicality. It's got some amazing work there by Alex, as we've discussed. Obviously, Eddie, I give it a thumbs up.
Hell yeah. We are sweeping it all. Grab your brooms. All right, Corey.
This is the Sammy era at its best, this whole album.
Yeah.
You will not hear a disagreement from me on that one. Corey Morissette, my dude. You called your shot on this particular song. So do I even need to ask?
I'm just
bullshit.
Kidding.
Bullshit.
Jesus.
Boo! This is legitimately one of my favorite Van Halen tracks of all time. Like, the Fuck album was a huge album for me in 92. And I love this video. I love this song. It's a perfect song, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I was going to say, everybody, well, people who know me know that I like the Diamond Dave era more so than the Sammy. But this is a really good song. They cover it great. I mean, even the outro, I mean, you can tell it's hip. Like, he plays, and it's too bad that they kind of faded it out, because I would have liked to have heard, you know, any more snippets of Eddie. I'm all for it. Yeah. Just keep giving it, and I'll keep listening to it.
So I have a quick question for you, Todd, because I know that when we've spun this up and this was the song, I kind of saw the body language was like, So was that, like, has your opinion of it changed since we listened to it and talked to it, or are you still kind of where you were before we had the episode, or like?
You know what? Because the early Van Halen stuff is what I listen to more of. So when it comes to the Sammy, when you talk about one of the songs, I mean, I remember the songs, but I don't, because I don't listen to them that much.
Okay.
I'm not 100% familiar as much as the older stuff. So it was kind of like, it's a good song, but then once you hear it again and you kind of revisit it, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I forgot about this part and that part, and
yeah,
and everything kind of melds together. And I mean, Eddie and Alex are just, they're like one person when they play. And then, you know, when Sammy comes in and he's got a very strong voice, very distinctive, and he's, you know, he just helped meld the band back together.
And it's that thing that this podcast did for me, and I know it's done that for a lot of other people, is that Van Halen's a band that's very easy to take for granted. And we sort of forget how brilliant they were as musicians. Yeah, they wrote a bunch of hits, and Eddie was, you know, a guitar god, but you kind of forget how good they were as a band. And when you listen to something like this that, you know, on its face is kind of rock brand rock, and it's on the radio, you know, there's not, like, you know, it's not breaking any molds or anything, but when you listen to it, you think, fucking hell, they played that well. And goddamn, that was produced really well. You know what I mean? Like, you've got that thing where this isn't a band that you should overlook. You should go back and revisit some of these things and think, oh, actually, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It would be interesting to hear, see how the early Van Halen was produced versus the way it was produced for this album, and you would have switched them. If you would have taken the first album and this album and switched them just in the production only, just to see how much of a difference it would have sounded like.
Yeah.
If only there was a podcast where you could revisit the entire catalog one song at a time.
You know, if only there was.
Oh, I would listen. I would definitely listen.
It's like,
come on, that show.
Like, I wouldn't listen, Eric. It's just not. No.
Yeah, you guys are not experts.
No.
Yeah, wake up.
Not.
Okay?
We're not. We have to.
Hey, buddy, Love Walks In is not about aliens, okay?
Is it not? See, I misread that whole thing. Yeah.
We can't go back there, Eric. We can't go back there.
Conflicting reports.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm not even an expert on my own life, let alone someone else's.
Didn't you listen to what that guy on Twitter said?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. We're not really paying attention.
It's all about the love of a good woman, don't you know? It's pulling at the heartstrings. It's not about aliens at all.
No matter how many tentacles she has.
Get with it. Yes.
That was the one thing I thought I knew was Love Walks In was about aliens. Turns out I fucked that up too, so.
Despite the fact that you had direct quotes from the songwriter.
Yeah, literally, I read excerpts from the songwriter.
Turns out still you were fucking with us. Yeah. You still somehow fucked that up. Yeah. So,
aren't we short a vote?
Yeah, we're short one vote. It's my vote. Well, come on. The thing is, and I know we haven't done a lot of songs from this album, but you're going to be hard-pressed to find me downplay a lot of the fuck album.
Pleasure
because
doing.
That particular album, I mean, that particular
immediate,
album.
It's immediate.
Yeah, it happens to have like a special place in my heart. So, I mean, not all the tracks are winners, and I can't wait till we get to those that are not, because my podcasting partner really doesn't want to talk about them.
But, I do, actually.
Well, you do. Okay, he does want to talk about them, but it's not gonna go well. But when it's a banger, it's a banger. Runaround's a banger. I mean, like, there's no other way to say it. I could not have put it any more eloquently than anyone else on the panel right here. So I'm not even gonna try. I'm just gonna say Runaround. Yes, absolutely. What Dreams Are Made Of. You guys, we did it.
A clean sweep.
Clean sweep, but we have some Twitter polls. You guys want to hear what
we do? We do. We do.
Yes. All right. First, let's go back to Dancing in the Streets, our first show here tonight.
Let's do it.
67% What Dreams Are Made Of. 33% This Dream Is Over. So,
man.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. I actually thought it'd be the reverse because I always hear that people don't like Dancing in the Streets. So that's actually.
Except for you.
I mean, according to the votes when we did this live on our panel, it was just Corey and I who said yay, and everyone said fuck you. No,
just remember that the majority is not always correct.
This is true in this case, true. Especially in America.
And it doesn't mean we don't love you.
No, it's true.
But any guesses on Runaround? What do you think the percentage is? So far.
It's got to be over 80.
Yeah. It's well over 80. It's 91%.
Yeah.
What Dreams Are Made Of. 9% This Dream Is Over. Until those 9%, who hurt you? Like, how can you fucking downvote this song?
That's the same question we asked about people who downvoted Unchained. Like,
I know.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's
Stop
crazy.
It.
Worse that's than crazy. Okay, look, easily.
If you downvote...
Some
if you
don't vote Unchained, go of their high school memories.
Yeah.
If you don't vote Unchained, I would go so far as to say you're not a Van Halen fan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Wouldn't it be great though if the people that downvoted Unchained love How Many Say Hi? So there's a song.
It was Michael Green the whole time.
Sure, he's not here. Pick on him. Yeah. There you go.
And John Mariano's here.
It's nope. Adam Levine's fans.
I fancy that one time you're going to get this thing. Well, who's voting this down? Unchained. Like, who's voting this down? And this is at Sammy Hagar.
Well, this song's voting down.
Or Gary Sharon. Like,
Yeah. It'll be, yeah, it's Gary Cherone. So Gary's like, man, fuck that song. Like, hey, damn it, Gary. All right, so you guys, we did it. We did the live show. We did two parts of it. There may be a third part. There may be not. I don't know, because I won't be here for that one.
Davey says, do a third. Come on.
There he goes. So it's like, well, no, we can totally do a third, but there just may be an absence of the non-expert Mark.
Come on.
But it's okay. There are more people.
You don't work tomorrow.
And possibly a non-expert Hattie too.
Oh, there's another Mark if you need one.
You have a full panel. Like, you don't need me. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, if everyone else wants to stay put, like, cool. But like I said, I will be completely incoherent at this point.
Hey, I've been incoherent for 50 episodes.
So. I mean, that's true. You have been incoherent for 50 episodes. So
I'm on my fifth Kraken. What do you like? What's your problem?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Like a ton of slow and low rye, and then however many other things that I probably can't say in order to not get us flagged on YouTube, and all that jazz. But you didn't come here for that. You came here for Van Halen talk, and at the very least, we have completed our two-part episode of the live show. So, on behalf of Sean Geek and the Fast Fret Podcast, on behalf of Eric Sinich himself, on behalf of the Rock Roulette Podcast, the Judas Priest Podcast, and like, who else is with us here? Scott Haskin, Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty Podcast, Scott Haskin from the Backtracks Podcast, and the Uriah Heep Podcast. Everybody, you know what? In order to simplify it, go check out the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, because we're all there. We're all there. All of your rock and roll podcasting needs are met right there at the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. I assure you, if you like rock music, you're going to find something that you enjoy. If it's not us, then you'll find something else that you like, I assure you. So go check that out. We are happy to be a part of it. We are happy to have all of these people join us. So for the live show, thank you so much for tuning in. All of the comments, the tweets, the YouTube, the live stream, everything. Thank you guys so much for keeping us going. We appreciate you. Take another shot, because that's a catchphrase. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.